Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. We are back. We're back for this edition of Christian Talk. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody, and a special welcome to my lovely wife, Pastor Tasila. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you? I'm just really shocked that we have already passed through January. And it's February 1st.
I know.
Time
is flying. Wow, isn't that something? Time is really flying, I'm telling you. It really is. Man.
Yeah, and we're in our second month of 2023.
Yeah, our second month, my goodness, of 2023. Time is going. That means that we're getting that much closer to the kingdom of God. So, you know, hang in there. Listen, for right now, what I want everyone to do is to real quick call some of your friends and your family members or inbox them on your computer or send them a message, a text or something, and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537, or just click on the picture or the link wherever you see the post for this particular show if you choose to listen from your computer, okay? You might see our post on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. And, of course, on Facebook, you can continue to click on the picture or the link whenever you see it on Facebook, all tonight and all this week, you can do that, okay? And also, tune in to us on hsbn.tv. Our show is called The Message of Life. You can catch us on hsbn.tv, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. So tune in, okay? You will be blessed. You can also find The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila on other social media TV apps and platforms all throughout the week. Like to name a few, On Demand, Roku, iHeartRadio, and many, many more. Just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. Pastor Tasila, you think we should tell them about the book?
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited about that. And, you know, you guys, you all can help us out by purchasing, going on Amazon and getting Pastor T's book that the Lord blessed him with, downloaded into him to give to us. And it's such a blessing. Just go on Amazon, and it's called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. And then you won't miss it because it's by Pastor T. Meyer McCain, Who is God? And I would really like for you guys to go on there and buy one, not just for yourself, but be a blessing to someone else also. Amen.
Amen. I heard everybody say amen.
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 Yes. Praise the Lord. Also, we would like to invite you to come this Sunday and worship with us. Come this Sunday and worship with us. We are Church of Jesus Christ Ministry located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Come and worship with us. Our services start at 1:30 in the afternoon, 1:30 p.m., so come on, you will be blessed, okay? You will be blessed. Listen, everybody stay right where you are. Don't go away. We will be right back. Don't go away. Stay right there.
Don't know.
are listening to Christian Talk with TNT, T. Meyer and Tusila. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Tusila, what's this? Well, hold on for a minute. What's going on here? It is a TNT special guest moment. TNT special guest moment. And our special guest tonight, and you know who it is, it's Chaplain Rob Reyes, our brother. How are you, Chaplain Reyes? How are you?
I am doing great. And how are you two?
Oh, we're doing just fine.
Bless
you too.
Yeah.
It's good to hear from you too.
Thank
you. It's always good to hear from you, Chaplain. You have so much to share. Let me tell the people, most of our audience already know you. Chaplain Rob Reyes became a born again Christian on December 18th, 1994 at 7 p.m. in a dope house. He never graduated from school, but he got his GED. He never graduated from school, but he got his GED from State Penn. Not Penn State, State Penn. Studied the Bible at TBU. TBU? What's TBU? Top Bunk University. Received awards. He received awards for ministry from President Bush and Governor Schwarzenegger. He was made institutional chaplain under Bishop G.E. Patterson. Bishop Patterson. He is the founder of Shoot from the Hip Ministry and Tongues of Fire Ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome our dear friend, Chaplain Rob Reyes.
Yes! Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
Thank you.
You know,
thank
you know, Chaplain.
You
tell
kept
you,
my
man,
Bible, huh?
Yeah. You know, the Lord downloads so much to you, and you have all kind of sermons. You know,
experiences
as well. Yeah. So what we want to do tonight, let's just, I don't know, where is the Lord leading you? What would you like to key in on for tonight?
I'm going to leave that to you. You had mentioned that you wanted me to talk a little about we more than conquerors. So I thought, you know, I wanted you to maybe key on what you wanted to talk about. But when I talk about we more than conquerors, many people don't understand the enormous power that we have as born-again Christians.
Right.
God created us in his image and likeness. That means we were created with all the power that God can give anybody. And it's the reason why when he created us, he said for us to have dominion over everything that creeps upon this earth, and we know that the devil creeps. That means we have, that means we have the power over you. And our saints are not using it. They're not using it. And because I'm going to tell you, I know what the power of God can do. He brought me back from the pit of hell, so I know he's got all power. When he came down to hell and brought me back, when he spoke, the gates of hell shook. I mean, it was like an earthquake went off when the Lord spoke. He said, get up. He said, loose him. And when he said that, all of hell shook, chains came off and everything. And I found my spirit.
Well, that's because, Pastor Reyes, you were literally in hell, and a lot of people don't know that God allowed you to go to hell and be literally there. And then he rescued you from the pits of hell. And not just saying that, you know, hypothetically, but it's something that actually happened to you. Can you explain that to people that you ended up there?
You want to know how I got there? That's what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm sure people want to know how in the world did this man that's talking right now to us, how did he go to hell?
Well, I'm going to just put it this way. I wasn't always saved. And so I was called myself handling my business streetwise. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of drugs. And that night, the city that I was in ran out, and I had stored up a whole lot. So I thought I'd make me some money. And so I went and got me a hotel, and I did everything I needed to do, and all of a sudden my beeper went off. This was back when they had beepers, you know. And my beeper went off, and I put that pack together, and I dashed out of the hotel I was in, and the moment I hit the driveway, red lights was all over me. Mm. And all I could see was prison bars. And so I swallowed. And I looked back because I was choking. It had got stuck in my throat. And I was choking, and I fixed my mirror, and I looked back behind me, and I seen the police swing open their doors. They hadn't got out their car yet. So I dropped the drugs back up, and I crunched down on the bag. I put a hole in it and didn't know it. I swallowed it, got it down. Well, the police knew I was doing something in that car, but they couldn't find nothing. They strip searched me on the street, you know. They couldn't find them, so they let me go. But at the same time, I knew something was wrong because my stomach was like on fire. I tried to go home. I'm going to tell you how God works. I went home to try to throw this stuff up out of my system, but it wouldn't come up.
Right.
And I began to think to myself, I do not want to be home when these drugs take complete effect. I might hallucinate, and who knows what I might do, but I didn't want to be home with my family. So I went out. I was going out the door, and the cabinet opened by itself, and the Bible fell out. I grabbed the Bible, and I went on out into the street. I am hallucinating. I even swallowed my tongue. I split my mouth open, shoving my hand down my throat to pull up my tongue. And then my tongue kept wanting to go back down my throat, so I'm holding it with my teeth. But I'm about to bite my tongue off. So I had the Bible that came out was one of those hardback Gideon Bibles. I stuck my tongue between the pages, and I bit down on that Bible. As hard as it was, I couldn't bite through it. I still had that Bible today, and you where I bit it in two. That's how I was holding it. So a little while later, I was sitting on a corner, and this girl that I sold drugs to happened to pass by and see me sitting on a corner. Blood was running all down in front of me. My shirt was bloody. And she helped me to a hospital across the street from where I was. She took me into the emergency room. She took me into the emergency room. She sat me down and hollered, "Hey, look at him." And then she ran away. I must have been in bad shape because he took me right then into the emergency room. And then I was looking at myself. My spirit was up in the ceiling, and I'm looking at them working on me. They shoved tubes in me and all kind of stuff. They couldn't do nothing. And then I heard them say, He's gone.
Whoa.
Clock him. Go tell his family. He didn't make it. And then
you could hear them say that.
Yeah, and then every scripture in the Bible that talks about hell is real. You can go down through the Bible and everything it say is real. That they came, those demons came and got me in chains, took me away.
Mm.
I was screaming and hollering, in my spirit. I was screaming and hollering, please, no, stop, stop. And the first place they took me was a place called Outer Darkness. You read about it in the Bible. There is a place called Outer Darkness. It's so scary. It is so dark and so black. You cannot see nothing. And I didn't, naturally you don't want to be there, but it's so dark, you don't know where to go. You don't know whether to walk forward, walk backwards, go to the side, or whatever, because you can't see nothing. You don't know where you are. And it was cold. It was cold at that moment. And then the torments started. All the different torments. I went through so many different torments. You know, it was just unbelievable. The smell of burning flesh, you could just smell it. It was so thick. The smell was actually thick. The endless scream, it was like one long scream that never stopped. Well, what it was billions screaming at the same time. And it just seemed like one long scream. And I believe it was my grandmother that stood on the side of Jesus. And it's like I could hear him say, "We served you. We prayed for that boy, both of us. And you said that what we ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. We ask that he would be saved, and he is in hell now." And at that moment, God, Jesus, flashed my life before my eyes. I seen everything I ever did. Now, you hear about those scriptures that say that if you ever turn your back on God, there's seven more demons.
Right.
This is what happens. The scripture also says that God will not remember the good that you did the day you turned your back. Well, almost 10 years before I call myself coming to Christ. And he blessed me. But I had a habit I did not want to break. And that was smoking that bud, and it eventually got me back to where I was. So, but when God showed flashed my life before my eyes, I seen everything I ever did, even the sins that I committed before I got saved, called myself getting saved almost 10 years before. So, in other words, what's making it so hard is all the wrong you ever did is back. You got all of that burden. Mm. Everything that was on you before is back. And so I seen everything I did. And then I spoke to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I deserve to be in hell." Now, I'm in hell in torment, and that's something, you know, I said, I deserve to be here. And at that moment, that's when I heard the most precious words I could ever hear in my life. And that was the Lord say, "Loose him." And that's when hell shook. Chains came loose. Everything just happening in an instant. My spirit was back in my body. And then the Lord said, "Get up, get up, And I got up off that gurney, and I got to running around, and the nurses and the doctors are hollering at the police, talking about, he's getting away. And they said, we got nothing on him. He can go. And I kept running. And I ran my way out. I found my way out of that hospital room, and I ran through the waiting room where my family had been told I was gone. See me run by.
Wow.
That's
how I
ended
up.
It was that experience. That experience right there let me know there's nothing God can't do. There's nothing, no power that God can come and get to just take you, snatch you out of hell.
What the hell
do we got? He said that we
have created an image and likeness of him. We can defeat anything that comes. That's the
reason why that message that you asked me about, we more than conquerors. That's the reason why I wrote that, because people need to know the power of God, and the power that God has given us is enormous if we just use it.
I use it. I done
preached in satanic temples. I done preached in voodoo pilgrims. I done preached to witches and warlocks, Santeria, I got a whole room full of the women at the satanic temple. The first one, they got saved listening to me bring the gospel. And in in another one, third high in the satanic religion got saved. He told me, he said, you one of those Pentecostal preachers, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, so you know all about spirits, huh? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to tell you now. My grandfather was a Satan worshiper. My father was a Satan worshiper. I know nothing but you know what? Before I left him there, he confessed. And then he told me, he said, the demons are all around me right now. They say if I give my life to Jesus, he's going to kill me. He said, I'd rather go now than not be saved. And he got saved. The third high, he said, I was with LaVey. I stood on one side of him, and another one stood on the other side of him as he wrote the Bible. But he got saved. So I know the power of God. I know the enormous power. And we need to know that. That his word, he told us in the first page of the Bible, he wanted us to know that in the beginning. I created you in my image. You know, the Lord told me one time I was talking about something. And the Lord, he answered me. He said, to the devil, I said, no. He said, do I worry about him? No. You think he bothers me? I said, no, Lord. He said, why are you letting him worry you? If he don't bother me, don't let him bother you. That's all he has to say.
That's true.
And,
but you got to know who's the highest power over all powers.
Yeah.
You got to realize who Jesus is. How great he is, and how he's the greatest power over all powers and principalities. And once you realize that, then you understand who's the greatest power in the whole universe is Jesus.
He set us aside of over all creation. We are the only ones that can understand and can communicate with him. And we talk to him. We can talk. We can read his word. He gave us the ability to understand him and to know him. No other creature on earth can do that. That's because we were created in the image and likeness of him. And that's something we need to know.
And even greater than that, he gave us the ability to be sons of God. He's the firstborn among many of us. And even the angels want to understand, how do you become a son? Because they were created. They don't have an umbilical cord. They don't have a birth. Yeah. They were created. But the sons are going to be born of him. He's the firstborn among many brethren. So he gave us the ability. That's what the angels look into.
And that's the reason why we have such a great enemy. Because that enemy, like you just said, was created. That Satan was created, Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was created, and he was supposed to be all beautiful and all powerful. He was an archangel. The problem is, he was just like you said. He was a created angel. So he thought he was upset when the Lord said, I am going to bring one that's going to crush your head. You know? He said he was going to create one. And so that's the reason why Satan was so mad, because he created us out of the dust of the earth. And that, to Satan, is the lowest thing there is. That's earth. Mm-hmm. And so if we create out of earth and he's supposed to be the king of the earth or whatever it is, then he should have rule over us. And that's the reason why he makes our lives miserable. That's the reason why he attacks men so hard, because we see, you know, and so he attacks us even more. So, am I talking too much?
No, continue. Okay.
You're not talking too much.
No, I like it where it says in Romans 8, yet even in the midst of all these things that we all go through, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than conquerors.
Yes,
more.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these
meaning,
things.
No situation in life can defeat us.
Him that loves us. You know?
And it can't dilute God's love either. And that's one thing that I noticed that a lot of Christians struggle with, because they know they have a sinful nature. They always feel rejected and less than, and they feel like God doesn't love them. But being a conqueror, meaning that no situation in life can defeat us or dilute God's love. It can't change his love the way he, and we know that divine love and power work for us to triumph over all things. And see, love is very powerful.
Yeah.
And it's going to be God's love in this end time that's going to help. It works along with the power of God. And it helps us to triumph over and give us the victory over our enemies that we face.
Well,
I like the part of that scripture that says more than conquerors. So that scripture is actually saying we're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We're more powerful than we think or than we know, actually.
You know, I thought God, for some reason, turned his back on me. And so I cursed him. I did all kind of things, you know. I didn't think he loved me.
Well,
I was
at
wondering
what
why
point was this? Was this post-hail or pre-hail?
Oh, this was afterwards. This is the night I got saved. I got saved, in 94. That, when I went to hell, that was in 89. I still didn't quite get it right for a few years. But God had it. And you would think I would have got it right, but I didn't, you know, because I see some.
Right.
Sin will teach you further than you want to go.
And when you're ready to let it go, it won't let you go either until you cry out to the Lord.
Well, you know, in Romans 7:15, it says, and I became what I hated. I became the very thing I hated. I hated the life I was in. I hated what was going on. I hated how my family felt about me. I hated all those things, but I could not help it. I wanted to do right, but I just didn't do it. And see, that's the problem. You see, and because of that, the devil will make you think that's because God don't love you. You know, and so I was going through this.
Yeah.
But you know what? God showed me his love the night I got saved. Because he came in the dope house. He came inside the dope house and saved me in the dope house to show me I can't, there's nowhere I can go. If I'm ready, wherever I am, because I had several times, I guess maybe to make my wife happy, I would go to church every now and then. And I would go up to the altar and everything else. And they put a bunch of oil on me and everything, and I go slipping and sliding out of the church and everything. But, and it might last for a few days. I think the most it ever lasted would might have been 2 weeks, you know. But it never did. Never hung on. But the night I was serious. The night I was serious. It was in my heart. He came into the dope house. He passed by the strawberries and the raspberries and the and all of them. He the child molesters and the gangbangers and everything. He passed everybody and came straight to me. He saved me. I began to pray in the dope house. And they got upset and threw me out. And it was at 7 p.m. when they threw
you. You was blowing their mind.
It was at 7 p.m. And I was saved. And I've been saved ever since. I have not turned my back on God. And he has not let me down. The scripture that the Lord gave me was the blessings. Deuteronomy 28. The Lord said, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God and to keep all his commandments, that he said he would bless me. He would lift me above all nations of the earth. I cried out to the Lord right there. I said, Lord,
I'll keep your commandments. I'll do what you say.
But Lord, you do what you say. You say you'll lift me up, then lift me up. I'm a fucked up crackhead. I got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. I said, but Lord, you said if I keep your commandments, you'll lift me up, I will keep them from this day forth. And the Lord went on. And he said, if you keep my commandments, I'll bless the fruit of your body. And I have the most blessed world now. You know, they were going all kind of different ways. But when I came to the Lord, he changed me. And I did what he said. I kept his commandments, and he touch my family. And the next thing you know, they all came along, and we were talking. I was talking to Petra. I was talking to Petra one day, and she was telling some cousins that I had never met before. We was meeting with some cousins. They asked her. They said, well, you knew your dad when he was like that? She said, yeah. And he also is the one that brought us all to Christ.
Don't count you out.
And so,
Chaplain, I wanted to ask you, what did you say or do when you were in that dope house that made them kick you out?
I was praying. I'm going to tell you what happened.
Oh, okay.
A month before, I had got a check for a car accident. And I had a lot of money. And I gave my wife some. And when I went to give my wife some, because she's taking care of the kids, I'm out there in the streets. And I'm tore up. But I went to her and gave her some money, and she asked me to go to church with her. Well, I'm going, all right, I'll go. And so I went to church. And one of the elders of the church, he said, would you come back next month on our brother's night and give a testimony? I said, sure. You remember, I told you I went to TBU. I know how to get by. I used to write prayers when I was in there, you know, everything.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I said anything just to, you know, let my life be happy with me and stuff like that. But that night, I was supposed to go the next morning and go to the church. And I was telling the fellas that I was with, I got to go to church tomorrow. I promised my wife I would. And they said, man, quit talking about that stuff, man. I said, I'm telling you right now because I've been under the Holy Ghost before. And I know what that Holy Ghost can do. And so I'm going to tell you right now, everybody here, when I leave, put your stash somewhere that I don't know. They said, man, you better not go to church if you're going to be snitching. So that next day, I had to have that money that I had got that month before. And I bought all the dope I could. And I figured like this, I'll buy more than I can smoke, and I'll come up, make some money. And it was working. For that whole month, I did not smoke nothing. I just made money. But I kept going through it fast, and I had to keep reeing up. The day that I was supposed to go to church, I ran out. And so I re-upped. And I re-upped with 6.5 ounces. Now I got all of this dope, and I took this little baggie of shavings, and I went down to the dope house, and I'm throwing dope around like I don't know what, but I got all of these ounces on me. And I seen how they were acting. These folks was tearing up the house looking for this dope I was throwing. They all ran into the kitchen like a swarm of bees. And so I'm looking at this. They pulled open the cabinets, the drawers. They opened up the refrigerator. Now, I didn't stash nothing. I just threw it in there. And I'm looking at them do this, and I said, wow, this must be some caviar. So I decided I haven't had a hit in a month. I'm going to take me one. And just when I did that, I began to tweak, as they call it. And I kept seeing something, and it kept coming closer and closer. I'm only one in this room, in the living room. I'm backing up, and all of a sudden I'm backed up against the wall. Down because whatever this is getting closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden, it tapped me on the shoulder. And just like, rolled to Damascus, I looked up and said, Lord, what are you? That was me. It was Jesus tapping me on the shoulder. And he said, if you got yourself in a situation, could you trust any of them to help you? I said, no, Lord. Because I felt that he's talking about if I end up dying like I did before, could they help me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, Lord. Then he said, then get out of here. I raised that hot crack pipe, and the oil ran down my arms, was burning it, and I was praying. Somebody peeped out of the kitchen and said, hey, this fool is out there praying. Somebody else said, who, what? And they all looked. And they seen me praying. I got my hands up in the air. They said, man, you need to stop that. I wouldn't stop. I didn't say nothing to them. I kept on praying. They said, man, look, we can't have none of that in here. You ruining our high. Now, I'm getting them high, but I'm ruining it. And so I wouldn't stop praying. So they just said, they just grabbed me, and they threw me out the door. Now I'm outside the door. I left my little pack in there, but I still had all them 26 grams, 26 quarter pieces. So that's 6.5 ounces I still had on me. And I got scared. I cried out to the Lord, I don't want to die tonight. I feel death all around me. Somebody know I got all this on me, and they're going to find me dead somewhere in an alley. I said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I've been there, and I don't want to go back. And I cried out to the Lord right there. And then the Lord, as I told the Lord, I'd do anything he'd tell me to do. I'll keep his commandments. And the Lord asked me, he said, you willing to do whatever I tell you to do? I said, yes, Lord, anything. And he said, go and destroy all of that dope. I walked out to the curb, and I took those 26 quarter pieces, and I was throwing them into the sewer one at a time, praying. I prayed, Lord, please, as I'm throwing one, the first one I threw down, I started praying, and I kept on praying as I was throwing them down. I said, Lord, clean me up. I'm the one tore up. Lord, please save me. Clean me up. Give me a pure heart. I said, and Lord, watch me. And I'm still throwing them. I said, Lord, watch me. And as you see me keeping your commandments, Lord, please restore me with my wife. And I'm praying and praying, and I'm still throwing all these pieces down into the sewer. And I said, Lord, please, Lord. Watch me and see that I'm going to keep all your commandments and be obedient to your words. Restore me with my children. They hate me. They don't like me. And as I kept throwing those water pieces down into the curb, I said, Lord, restore respect in my life. I threw some more, and I said, Lord, give me a job. Nobody wants to hire an ex-con. I can't get a job. Give me a job so I can support my family and be somebody. And as I got down to that last quarter piece, I got ready to throw the last one down in, and the Lord said, stop. Take it. Go back to your wife. Show it to her and destroy it in front of her. And tell her her prayers have been answered.
Ooh.
I went back, and I almost had to drag her into the bathroom because she, you know. And then after I did that, I hit the floor. My wife come from a line of evangelists. I mean, famous evangelists that went around and they cast out devils and everything, and when I hit the ground, she knew just what to do. She broke into it, and she began to cast those devils out of me. And then after all of that, she said, you know you're supposed to go to church tonight. So we're riding on the freeway, and the devil is beating me. My lip began to hang out where he hit me in the jaw. He hit me in the lips, and my lips were swelling up. He hit me in the eye. My eye closed up. My wife would look over there, and she'd speed up. And he
gut punched me. He'd hit me all in my guts and everything else
and giving me body shots. I mean, he beat the snot out of me. My wife is flying down the freeway trying to hurry up and get me to church.
Mm.
And I get out the car, and I walk up to the church. I'm tore up. But the moment I put my hand on the church knob, my body straightened up. And the Lord said, I had to clean you before you come into my house. And that was it. That was the night I got saved.
Talk about an experience, man. Yes.
That's the reason why I know. What I got to be afraid of? Why does anybody got to be afraid of? When we serve a God like that, when we serve a God that can, he can prove everything he said. That's the reason why I love his word. Every word. You know, you read that message called Living in the Blessed of Times? Did you read that one?
No, I don't think so. No. Living in the Blessed of Times?
Yeah.
That was the second message you sent.
Yes. I thought you said a book. I was thinking of an actual book. But you're right.
Okay,
Living in the Blessed of Times, yeah.
Living in the Blessed of Times. That message means that you can look at everything that the Word of God say and follow it, and is true. And if every word in his book, every word in the Bible is true, then what he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that thou shalt be saved, you can believe it. If he say that whatever you ask, you know, whatever he say, you can believe it. And so this, that message is dealing with end times. But we are living in what most people would think is some of the worst times of ever in our history. And the Bible talks about it. And see, that's what's so great about the Word of God. God told us from the beginning we're going to go through. In Daniel 12 and 1, he said, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. That same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. You can stand on that because he's warning us right there. That's the reason why I say we're living in the blessed times. It might be bad, but for us who are written in the book, it's the blessed times because we got a story. We got a testimony.
Yeah.
We're going to make because we stand on the word. I don't care what happens. I don't care if they have mandate on top of mandate. I don't care if they try to lock you in or whatever else. As long as we standing on, and the thing of it is, the reason why I talked about we more than conquerors is because even though we are in these times, they're trying to shut the Bible out. And this is a time when we need, as men and women of God, need to unite in one accord and defeat this demonic spirit, because if we don't, it's going to defeat us. You know, it's going to put us in bondage, unnecessary bondage that we don't need to be in. That's for sure. So
that's what that whole COVID thing was, unnecessary bondage. Now people don't even want to talk about it, really. But until they get a new plan up about it. But they didn't want to talk about it no more. But that was the beginning of the test run of bringing that type of bondage to people throughout the entire world. It wasn't just to any one state. Like Europe or United States or anything. That was worldwide. That's Satan. That was a plan from the enemy.
Well, as you probably looked in at We're More Than Conquerors, I talked about how this was all planned out decades ago.
Right.
And they even told how they were going to do it decades ago. I talked about how the weapon that we all is all over. I don't know if it's all over the world, but I know it's all over the United States, and that's the 5G weapon. The 5G is a weapon that was designed by big tech in China over 10, 15 years ago, and it destroys your immune system, and that's the reason why they cannot shake nothing. And did you they had a report the other day where Pfizer is creating more other strains of COVID right now so they can continue making money, you know? But you know what? I'm going to tell you, I found out about the 6G. You heard of that?
Not yet.
No.
You will not hear about it, really, because it's not dealing with us. They did what they want with the 5G. The 6G is for the end-time Antichrist. The 6 being in the number of man. 7 is where he's copying God. G is the 7th letter of the alphabet. Okay? Now, this 6G, the reason why it's only going to be used for the Antichrist is because it's dealing with artificial intelligence, and it's for him to be able to fool the people with signs and wonders.
Yes.
So you will we will experience the 6G when, and we'll be out of here because we saints. But who's ever left behind
mm-hmm.
going to be 6G, because that's his way of fooling people. He can't fool the real saints. That's reason. See, God take us out of here. He's going to have his run, and he's going to be able to fool some of them with all these signs
mm-hmm.
and wonders. And see, that's the reason
mm-hmm.
why that 6G, you know, they talked about it. Now, I'm going to tell you what you, if you was to look up the 6G, this is what you're going to get. 6G is a computer computational infrastructure. We'll be able to determine the ideal location and computing to occur, including choices for data storage, processing, and sharing. The capability will work in concert with artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's critical to remember that 6G is not yet operational technology. Okay. It's not
mm-hmm.
a technology for the assistance of man, but is designed for the captivity of man. The industry requires requirements for a 6G capability network. Solutions are still years away for the tribulation period. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reason why we got to realize the power we have and the word of God, because the Lord
mm-hmm.
gave us all this information a long time ago. You know, I use the scripture in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. For we walk not, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, casting down imagination. See, that's what he's going to use. You see, we as saints,
mm-hmm.
we with these strongholds that God gave us, we can cast down these imaginations, because that's what the artificial intelligence of the 6G is going to operate on, your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is the scripture. See, that's what I love about the word of God. He tells us how to prepare. I'm writing a message, and I think I just finished it about a half an hour before I got on the air. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Know Your Enemy.
Know Your Enemy.
We got to know
that's true.
Our enemy. You know?
Yeah, and a lot of Christians
don't know
that. They don't like for people to tell them about what the enemy is doing, and that's interesting. But you should know who's around you and how they're operating, so you won't be entrapped by them. Because if you don't know them, then they can ensnare you any kind of way.
Now,
right, you guys, we're down to about 1 minute. And then
mm-hmm.
we're having fun, and then the show is over. So, you know what, Chaplain, we're going to have to really get into this. We're going to call you back on the show maybe in a couple of weeks or so. And maybe you can share a lot of what you're getting ready to go into now, and then talk about some of the places, you say the dark places that the Lord takes you to that no other pastors go to, because you're ministering and bringing the light in really dark places. So we want to hear more about that.
Okay, so that one will be called Know Your Enemy.
Yeah, we want to hear that. Okay. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. God bless you all. Thank you. And remember, we're here every week, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., it's Christian Talk with Pastor T. Meyer and Tasila. We want to say a quick bye. You got about 10 seconds, Tasila.
It's always a pleasure to have you, Chaplain Reyes. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye now.